My prayer is that you will completely trust God to fulfill all future prophecy exactly as He says He will, because you know that in the past, God said it and God did it. So in the past, God said it and God did it. So in the future, if God says it, He's going to do it. And I hope you will believe. But listen what Jesus Christ said to unbelievers. In John, the 5th chapter, verses 36 through 39, this is the book of John in the 5th chapter, verses 36 through 39, Jesus said, "The works that the Father has given me to finish bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." So this is the first witness that Jesus talks about. And then it says, "And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me." So this is the second witness. The first witness being the works that Jesus did. The second witness being the words that the Father himself spoke. And then it says, "But you have never seen the Father, neither has he ever talked to you audibly." So somehow the Father spoke, but it wasn't audibly. "The way that the Father communicates with you is through the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are the very same Scriptures that testify of me." So this is the third witness, these Scriptures. And what is the conclusion? Jesus says, "Yet you don't believe me." My question to you, friends, is, do you believe God? Do you believe the Scriptures? Today we're going to cover four more fulfilled prophecies concerning our Messiah. And again, my prayer is that you will completely trust God to fulfill all future prophecy exactly as He says He will, because you know that in the past, God said it and God did it. So here are some of these prophecies that were fulfilled in the past. Prophecy number 5. A prophecy that Jesus would come from the tribe of Judah. And this is found in Genesis, the 49th chapter, verse 10. This is Genesis, the 49th chapter, verse 10, where it's a prophecy that our Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. It says, "The scepter," which is just a ruling rod, "the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and to him shall the gathering of the people be." Now let's see the fulfillment of that prophecy. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 2 through 5, this is Revelation chapter 5, verses 2 through 5, it says, "I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals?' I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book." No man was. "But then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals.'" So here we have that prophecy being fulfilled, that the Lion of the tribe of Judah, speaking of Jesus Christ, would be the one who could open the book and loose the seals. And now another part of the fulfillment of this prophecy is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. This is 2 Corinthians 5, verses 19 through 20. So the first part was that the scepter would not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And we know that Shiloh is speaking of Jesus Christ, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And now the second part of that prophecy, that he would come out of Judah, said that to him shall the gathering of the people be. So let's hear that part now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. It says, "God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself." That means bringing back the world to himself, gathering all of the people. So God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, Christians who now carry on this gospel about Jesus Christ and what God is doing through Jesus Christ, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, continuing the plea to be reconciled to God." And then in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verses 11 through 19, it says, "Please remember that you were in times past Gentiles in the flesh," and this is Paul speaking to the Gentile Christians, "you were in times past Gentiles in the flesh. You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now you are made near, how? By the blood of Christ, so that he might reconcile both Jews and Gentiles to God in one body by the cross. Therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So there you have it. That prophecy was fulfilled. Not only did the Messiah come through Judah, but it was also to the Messiah that all of the people began to be gathered, and that shall be completed in the future. Now we have the sixth prophecy concerning our Messiah, the prophecy that he would be heir to the throne of David. And this is found in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. This is where it says that Jesus would be the heir to the throne of David. And this is in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from now on. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's right, Jesus is going to fulfill this prophecy because God said it. So if God said it, he's going to do it. And now the fulfillment of that prophecy is in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33. This is Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33. The angel said to Mary, "Fear not, for you have found favor with God. You shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." A perfect fulfillment of that prophecy. And now prophecy number 7, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and that's taken from Micah, the 5th chapter, verse 2. This is Micah, the 5th chapter, verse 2, and this is the prophecy that our Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. "But you, Bethlehem, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come to me he that is ordained to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Now the fulfillment of that prophecy, that's in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. "When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the days of Herod the king, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled. So he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, and demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet," and this is the prophet Micah, "it is written by the prophet, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Almost a word-for-word fulfillment of that prophecy. And just think a moment about the numerous events that had to be engineered by God in order to make this happen. In Luke, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 7, it says, "Caesar Augustus sent out a decree stating that all the world should be taxed. So all went to be taxed, every one, into his own city. Joseph left Galilee and went with his fiancée Mary to Bethlehem, which is called the city of David. They went there for the purpose of being taxed, because Joseph was of the house and lineage of David. So while they were there, Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." So just imagine that all of the events God had to go through to engineer this, to make all of the events come together at one time, to cause Joseph to leave Galilee to go to Bethlehem so that this prophecy could be fulfilled. Again, God is working in world events right now to bring about all of his future prophecy. We may not know how everything is being tied together, but you should know, absolutely, because God said it, he will do it. Because in the past, God said it, and God did it. And now for prophecy number 8, that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. This can be found in Isaiah the 7th chapter, verse 14. This is the prophecy concerning the Messiah, where it says he would be born of a virgin. And again, this is in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now the fulfillment of that prophecy is in Matthew, the 1st chapter, verses 18 through 23. This is Matthew, the 1st chapter, verses 18 through 23. The birth of Jesus Christ was arranged this way. Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they consummated the marriage, she got pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Then her husband Joseph, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, decided to put her away secretly. So in other words, they were going to break up, but he wasn't going to make a big deal out of it. But the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, fear not to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And I'm sure you know this, but Jesus means salvation. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, speaking of the prophet Isaiah. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So again, my friends, we have now covered 4 more prophecies, bringing to a total of 8 prophecies concerning our Messiah. And we've been taking these prophecies in chronological order. Of course, the first one was where our Messiah would be born of the seed of a woman. The next prophecy, that he would be born of Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob. That was the first 4. And then the 5th prophecy, that he would come from the tribe of Judah. And the 6th one, that he would be heir to the throne of David. The 7th one, that he would be born in Bethlehem. And the 8th one, that he would be born of a virgin. So when it comes to fulfilled prophecy, please remember this statement. God said it, and God did it.